As Christians, we're commanded to present our bodies as living sacrifices, acceptable to God. This is not easy to do. The pressure is on from within and without for us to do anything but be living sacrifices. In other words, to get off the altar and do our own thing. Today, some practical help on how to get back on the altar and stay there. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Turn with us to Romans chapter 12 as we continue our series on Finding Where You Fit. Dr. Lutzer is speaking to us on finding your priorities and tells us why, as living sacrifices, we sometimes crawl off the altar.
The pressure is there to see the same movies, to be bought at the same price, to love the same money, to fulfill the same lusts. The pressure of the world is there, and that's why it's so difficult to stay on that altar. Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And the Greek word is metamorphos. Same word that is used for the transfiguration of Jesus Christ, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How often do you need to have your mind renewed? Every day before 9 o'clock in the morning. Every day before 9 o'clock in the morning, you spend that 15 minutes poring over the scripture and saying, God, I won't put the scripture down until I have a promise or something from your word to sustain me, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, here's what Paul is saying. First of all, he's saying, I want you to submit. And now he says, I want you to serve. If you underline the words, present your bodies, now you can underline the phrase, prove what the will of the Lord is, that is good and acceptable and perfect. And how do we prove it? We've given ourselves to God, we have yielded ourselves to God, and now how do we prove His will? Now you're looking at the text, aren't you? You know, I believe we make a big mistake in stopping at the end of verse 2 and preaching a message and telling everybody to go home. I think that verse 3 is a continuation of verse 2 because he says, for through the grace that is given to me. He is still thinking of the very same idea, namely the will of God. And what he's going to say is the way in which we experience of the will of God is, first of all, to know ourselves. For through the grace given to me, I say to every man, and this, of course, includes all the women, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. To know who you are. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Have you ever noticed in business or in work relationships how oftentimes a person's perception of himself is so different from the perception that other people have of their abilities and their gifts and their talents? And we're all subject here to the possibility of deception. Remember this, that if you believe a lie, it becomes the truth for you. And if you think that you are something that you are not, you actually believe that lie and find it very difficult to accept the truth. You know, of course, that all of us struggle with thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. And we express this, first of all, through bragging. But everybody knows nobody loves a braggart, so we do it in another way. We don't overvalue ourselves, but we pretend to undervalue ourselves, hoping that someone will correct us, hoping that somebody will set the record straight. So a woman might say, you know, I'm so sorry for the food that I've just cooked you because I'm just a terrible cook. What she wants you to say is, hey, you're not a terrible cook. This sounds, or rather, this tastes great. This tastes great. Somebody says, you know, I'm not very good at speaking. And what they want you to say is, you're very good at it. Really, really, really. They want you to correct them. You know, the way to expose the hypocrisy is, of course, just to agree with them. Simply say, yeah, That's right. I agree. You are a terrible cook. Yeah, you aren't very good at that. As a matter of fact, you're very perceptive when it comes to this. Please don't miss this point. Do you know what Paul says? He says that you should not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think as a way of having sound judgment. The Greek word means sanity. Come to think of it, what is a characteristic of insane people? They think that they are someone whom they are not. You can go into mental institutions and find those who believe that they are Jesus Christ or Napoleon. They don't really know who they are, and they are thinking of themselves in terms of someone else. If you want to be sane, know who you are. Okay, know yourself. That's the way you'll know the will of God. And then know your gift. Know your gift. Verse 4, for just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And since we have gifts that differ, and aren't you glad they do, according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. And now he lists 7. And could I say that many people believe that these are the basic core gifts? Probably you have one of these 7. Prophecy, that's the ability to give forth a word of God and to exhort men and women to repentance and faith. To service, verse 7, in his serving, do well in your serving, or he who teaches in teaching, the ability to communicate God's truth. Or he who exhorts, exhortation and teaching are related, but an exhorter is always very anxious to see the change in the lives of people because of the Word of God and the way in which he has taught it. He always aims toward changed lives. He who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives, let him do it with liberality. Most of the giving in the early church was secret. Some of it may not have been, but the person who has the gift of giving usually does it secretly. It's not like the person who stood up in a meeting and said, you know, I would like to give $100 to this project, but I would like to do it anonymously. No, not like that, no. And then notice it says, he who leads, do it with diligent. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. And so those are the 7 gifts. And what I interpret Paul to be saying is this: if you want to know the will of God, if you want to know where you fit, you must know yourself and you must know where you fit and how you serve within the body. So what Paul is really saying is, first of all, you submit and then you serve. And that's the order. Now let's look at the continuation of these verses. Paul now goes on to show that we should support one another, because remember, we are not a law unto ourselves. I pick up the text in verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. There is a kind of love that is very hypocritical. There is a kind of service that does it out of a sense of duty, but pretends that it is being done out of love. Abhor what is evil. My, that text in itself could be a message today. Rather than loving what is evil, we should abhor it and cling to what is good. Be devoted one to another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging back in diligence, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind. What's Paul getting at? What he's saying is that it isn't enough simply to serve. He says you must serve in relationship to the entire body. He says you must serve to support others. You must serve in such a way that you become concerned about the other cells of the body that are around you, because we are working at this together. Now, looking at your Bible, one more time in the 12th chapter, I want you to notice something. In chapter 12, verse 1, he said, present your bodies a living sacrifice. In verse 4, he talks about the body of Christ. He says, for just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so also, though we are many, are one body in Christ. What Paul seems to be saying is that the reason we should give our bodies to God is because our bodies are actually the body of Jesus Christ. This is Christ on earth. You and I are Christ on earth. I don't mean to say at all that we are divine like Christ is, but we are his representatives. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. We are that body. Now, the human body heals itself. In fact, the ability of the body to heal itself is awesome. It is something that scientists can't explain. Because, you see, they can create various elements. They can put something together that is perhaps as strong as a bone. But when it breaks, it can't heal itself. Yet God has given the body the ability to heal itself so that if it functions properly, it can be healthy and strong and impact society and to impact the world. I want us to consider for a moment the body gathered. The body gathered. That means us together on Sundays, during the week, small groups. That's the body gathered. The reason that the body gathers is to grow and become strong. So that if you have a broken bone, it is our responsibility to restore you, to help you to fix it. And some of you have slipped in life, haven't you? You may have slipped morally or you have slipped spiritually and you feel as if you are now no longer a part of the body or that you can never really be restored in a full sense to the body. It's our responsibility to help you to do that. You know, Paul says in Galatians that if any of you fall, he says, if anyone is overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such an one with a spirit of meekness and with a recognition that you yourself might be tempted.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I've often thought of the fact that if we really implemented that verse, if when we see someone overtaken with a fault, if we were to go in humility and discuss, recognizing that we could do the very same thing, there would be such healing that would take place within the body. And we'd discover that feelings of anger or resentment or jealousy would be taken care of. And I believe that the body of Jesus Christ would be so strong that our impact in the world would be much more noticeable and much more permanent. Well, I conclude today by asking you a simple question. Are you willing to open your life to God and say, God, you show me what needs changing?
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has given us part two of Finding Your Priorities, the third message in his series, Finding Where You Fit. Tomorrow, join us as Pastor Lutzer wraps up this study in Romans chapter 12. This series can help all of us make sure we're plugged in where God wants us to serve. All four messages can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about finding where you fit when you call. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church. Write to us at Running to Win, 1609 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Don't forget, this broadcast is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.